Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's me. It's one of your favorite people, Sharifa Hardy. I am here with Friday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show, and we've already been having an amazing conversation backstage in the green room. So I know you are going to enjoy today's show. And like I tell you every Friday, because it's Friday, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but it is the truth. But I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and share this show, share it with your friends, share it with your network, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And while you're sharing with your friend, I'm going to introduce one of my friends, one of the people who has supported me, who has commented, who has engaged, who always had a view on what's going on in the world. I would love to introduce you to Amaya Victoria. She is a spiritual teacher, a gifted channel, and she's going to talk to us about how she helps people with their path to healing. Good morning, Amaya. How are you?
Good morning. I am very good. It's a little early for me. I'm not a morning person, but I'm pretty good considering I'm up and about, makeup on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Imagine that. Miracles do occur. They are abound in my household this morning. So, yeah, so thank you for letting me come on the show. Thank you for allowing me to be here with Dave and Amira. And I'm interested to see what happens as we walk the circle together today and see what the center of the circle brings us. I have been in the healing arts since I was 25 years old. Actually, let me back up. I was born this way. I am, thank God they did the movie The Sixth Sense, because for many years I had to explain before every group how I worked. All that I say is, you know the movie The Sixth Sense? Most people do, a few people don't. I say, that was me. I saw dead people. I saw spirit. I knew things before it happened. I dreamt things. I had a deep sense of people, even if they just passed me on the street. I was told by one of my teachers many years later that if I had been born into a village or a tribe, the medicine people would have taken me and initiated me from 5 to 6 years old till my 20s. Initiation is not an easy process for anyone who's gone through it, just living life. It's about courage. It's about resilience. It's about integrity. It's about faith. You know, they put you in running ice cold water up to your neck, and if you come down off your toes, they will whip you back up. So when my teacher told me that, I must have gone like really pale. I know I'm white, but I went really pale. And he said, "Oh, don't worry, your life has given you that already." So I spent my childhood reading, and when I was 15 years old, I picked up my first book on reincarnation, Arthur Ford, Ruth Montgomery. The first wave out that began to talk about all this, and it lit things up for me. I said, that's what I want to do, not knowing what I was talking about. So I lived life as a human being, had children, married several times. And when I was 24, 25, I met my first teacher, Evelyn Isidore, in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. She never taught me how to channel. She taught me that I had a reason for living and that I had, three specific goals as a soul, which was to know the great I am, to help this world around the corner, and to know patience in every aspect possible. And that last one, I'm still doing. I think that's going to be a lifelong process constantly for me. I am not even close to the most patient person in the world. So, or even close to the least patient person in the world sometimes.
Amaya, you must do this for a living. Like I can tell, like you're a speaker because you gave me your whole bio and at Good Morning. It's so interesting though because you answer all of the you like you took all of my questions away because with channels and healers, I always ask like, when did you learn? How did you know? And you're like, okay, this is how I learned. This is how I knew.
I was taught the elevator,
Itch.
the elevator pitch early on. It's taught the elevator pitch. So the work that I do over the, I'm 64 years old now.
Ooh, you don't look a day over 25.
I know. Thank you. I thank my father for those genetics. Now, if he only had added to it that I don't run a little heavy because that goes on that side of the family, it would have been like a perfect deal. But you know what? You get what you get. So I've been doing
Okay,
this work for a long
now
time.
I'm gonna ask my questions.
Yes.
Did you ever run from the gift?
Absolutely. Scared the bejesus off of me. It really did. When I was a child, I would tell my mother, get the people out of the room. I was terrorized a lot by a spirit who was trying to get my attention. And then when I was with my first teacher, Evelyn, when spirit walked around the room and stood behind me, I panicked. So I ran. I ran until spirit ran me down. And they didn't tackle me, but they got me to see that they, because I didn't want to be crazy. You know, in that day and age, I'm out of the first wave or second wave of healers who came out. You heard people, you know, people were speaking through you. Guess where you wound up? You know, it's not like today. And I channeled all this was going to happen. And it was so foreign to us back then because it was so split. So I didn't want to be crazy. My household was dysfunctional enough as a child. So they really had to chase me down. They had to get me to see that, and I didn't want to harm anyone. I didn't want to be wrong. And so I had to learn through repetitive doing and by building a relationship with spirit on my own that this was not going to be a detrimental experience for myself or for others.
I mean, you said earlier, you said I channeled all of this. By this, what do you mean? Was that specific?
I channeled I all these years, I started in 1985, 86. I rue the day through all those tapes away because I kept all my channelings. They began talking very early on how that the metaphysical world, the spiritual world would merge with the earth world. And it would be commonplace, all this. How it would be in books and movies and I didn't know it was social media at the time, I forget what they called it. At the time, that this would become actually very, very normal. Very normal. And to me, at 24 years old, where I was sitting in my teacher's living room and the groups were just starting to form, that was like, how in the world was that going to happen? Oh, leave little faith, you know, God has done greater things than this. So, and it, I watched it begin to unfold. There's very few places you can go anymore where there's not something about the metaphysical or the non-physical world going on. I mean, I lived in Los Angeles where they pendulum whether they should buy an avocado or not, for God's sake, you know. Walk by and go, yes, and here we are. Here we are in this world, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us about some of the people you work with right now, some of the people who come to see you.
You mean who I work with in spirit or who come to see me physically?
The physical, the living people.
Oh, all walks of life, all walks of life. I don't get just one population. I people who walk towards me have ranged from 8 years old all the way up to 80, coming from all experiences for different reasons, for different needs. Not all of them are the teachers and the healers, which really is where I want to go is to give on. I'm an elder now, so it's really my focus gets to be more about the community and not so much about self, really. And so I really want to hand on the things I've learned and the things I brought in to teach. But I've always been those levels of whoever walks towards me, there is, because I work with a group that has, part of the group has lived incarnated here, part of the group has not, and part of the group is very close to the God source. So I can pretty much touch anyone who asks for help. And that's through the channeling work, the healing work, the teaching, the drumming, you know, wherever I'm standing at that particular time with the individual. So I wish I could tell you it was one particular group, but it's just not. It's not.
No, it's interesting. I love asking all these metaphysical questions. Yeah. So I'm going to introduce our next guest. We're going to come back to you, Amaya.
Sure.
But along the way, I'm asking for help. So if anybody decides to come through, anybody needs a
I knew you were going to ask that.
That's because you're good. That's
And I thought, well, then we might do some channeling in there. So,
I'm just giving, you know, I'm just giving permission. Dave might need a message today. He might be the one that is needs to hear something today. I don't know, but I'm
How
just
do I
saying.
Possibly follow that? I mean, come on, all that that just happened. There's no way I'm going to be able to follow that. So talk to Amira next.
And our next guest is Dave Melinda.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
I'm not going to edit this.
See, I have my order already set up. I can't change it.
Come on, you can change it. It's live TV. You can do whatever you want.
I want to talk to you. Because
awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for inviting me on the show. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I like your speech.
No. I'm sure you got more questions. I'm going to ask Amaya what questions you have, and then she'll tell me what questions you have. So it'll make it so much easier. We'll run it through her so that, you know, we'll make it easy. So.
I like that. That way I could just come back at 9 o'clock and just thank everyone.
Exactly.
There
exactly.
you go.
Yep.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah. So I'm, thank you. I'm honored to be on your show. I'm actually in the Midwest, so it's 9 o'clock here on Friday. So we already have been to the racquetball court and back and got some workouts done. So I own a company called Positive Polarity, and we do business coaching. We were talking before we were on the air about how a lot of companies, you know, in today, you know, especially in today's environment, you know, we're trying to decide how to stay afloat, how to keep moving forward. And it's interesting that a lot of people really, when you hear the word coach or consultant, there's kind of this, you know, oh my gosh, I don't need that type of situation, right? And I just refer to two of the best athletes ever in like Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. For whatever reason, they needed coaches in their lives. And so if they need a coach, it's probably a pretty good indication that we as business owners can use a coach as well. And the easiest way that I look at it, it's just like an outside influence. It's somebody on the outside looking in at your business and being able to make some emotional decisions, ask those tough questions. You know, Amir and I were talking before, and she was talking about growing her team. And, you know, we're really good. Most of us are really good at what we do, but right. we may not be really good at growing a team or building something. We might not know how to take it from where it is to where we want to see that. Mm-hmm. So that's where I jump in and kind of come alongside, you know, business owners, entrepreneurs. I'm able to help them, you know, get a different perspective. And it's kind of like, again, Tiger Woods has a swing coach, and so he sees something in that swing that Tiger doesn't see. And that's just like coming alongside a business owner. I see things not in the way that Amaya sees them, but I see things that they might not be able to see. And then we get to have that discussion, and we kind of work through that on how to, you know, help that person. So, you know, I'm assuming and all of us help people. We just help people in different ways and at different points and times in their lives. So I'm honored to be able to, you know, help a business owner that wants to go from where they are to where their dream is, but they just struggle on how to get there.
Yes, but I think when we're growing as individuals, we were talking about this on one of the past shows. We tend to try to separate like our business life and our work life, you know, and it's all our life. And so often when we focus on the spiritual or the metaphysical, we forget the business aspect. We forget that finance aspect, that piece of us that has to maintain us in this world. So I love speaking with business owners and business consultants to figure out what are some of the things that they can do to grow? Because that's the number one question I've been asked, especially over these past 3 to 4 months, is sure. How can we grow and how can we maintain in this environment?
Right.
What are some of your suggestions or recommendations as far as growth in this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And I mean, obviously in this pandemic situation, it's a little bit different. But I think that, you know, it really helps to have a real strong vision of what that growth is, because it's kind of like saying, I want to lose weight. I mean, that just doesn't really get you where you want to go, because technically I could cut my hair or I could cut my fingernails and there I lost weight. But that's not really what we're trying to accomplish here. So I encourage people to really have a strong vision of what that end result looks like, as strong as much as you possibly can, because then you're going to find ways to get there. So if you need to sell more or market to different people, you might need to grow your team. I mean, there's so many different ways that in the discussion, you know, we talk a lot in about where you are now and where you want to be. So, you know, that to me, there's some real easy ones. I mean, like, for instance, anybody, if your LinkedIn profile is not like 100% right now, you know, you need to really get it to that point. There's also, I don't know if your listeners know, but there's LinkedIn offers a free tool that you can actually assess your own, they assess your profile for you. And so they're able to look at your profile and they give you a one-page readout and they show you some places in there that you're able to improve your LinkedIn profile. So if LinkedIn is important to you, like it is for me, if somebody wants to, you know, hire me as a speaker or hire me as a trainer, you know, the first place they probably go right now is LinkedIn. And so I don't know, maybe from the law perspective, Amira, same situation, is LinkedIn a pretty big spot for you?
Actually, no, it's not, okay. Surprisingly.
Interesting.
Yeah, so because I work for a law firm, so I'm there. But as far as getting my customers from my online business, which is separate, okay, than the firm,
gotcha.
LinkedIn is not playing any role. Actually, wow. I don't use it. I think I should. I'm probably missing out on some, sure, opportunities here. But for me, social media has been bigger. Okay. Than anything else.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So, and that kind of shows, Sharifa, the point that, you know, trying to have a canned way to fix A business and B business, they're completely different. So it's a lot of the questions that you ask and you uncover things. And again, you come alongside and you see somebody and their swing is, they're struggling with this, they're struggling with that in their business. So we work a lot with people's blind spots where they don't know what they don't know. And that's actually the title of my next book that I'm working on right now, is called What Blind Spots. And mm-hmm. we uncover business blind spots that are very prevalent in today's, you know, business climate. So, so that's that in a nutshell, that's what we focus on, and is super happy to be here today.
I'm super happy to have you here today. And we can talk about your next book, but don't you have a current book?
Yes, it's Growing on Purpose. It's an Amazon number one bestseller. Honored to have released that a couple years ago. And mm-hmm. again, I ran into and still run into a lot of people and a lot of companies mm-hmm. that are growing by mistake. And mm-hmm. so I created a formula to be able to grow on purpose, to really create purpose in your business, so that you're not, you know, waking up and saying, what should I do today? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I feel like doing today? Right. Oh, I think I'm going to go golfing, or, you know, I'm going to go on the waves like we were talking about before. You know, there's some purpose behind your business. You know, you understand your why, you know, behind your what, so to speak. So, and we can mm-hmm. talk more about that, but again, honored to be here.
I like that. It's like, keep coming back to, I'm honored to have you here, Dave. It makes me feel good that you are here. I
can't wait to hear about the attorney, because I just, yeah, I have all these, I have like 87 questions I wrote down for the attorney. I have 87 questions for Amaya that I wrote down, so I got a ton.
Okay. I'm going to let you be the co-host just, today, yeah. Dave.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and introduce.
Time. Thank you. Can you change the show name then, too? Can my name somehow get in the show name?
Yes, it's going to be at the end, though, and it's going to be at the end at the part where we didn't have enough room to include it.
All right.
But it's there. It'll be there.
I'm not going anywhere. That's it. I'm good.
It's falling off the end there.
Yes. Amira Ifrin, thank you for joining us. And you're going to talk to us. You are a lawyer, but you also have a blog that you were able to make thousands of dollars a month through various means. And then you didn't just stop there. You help other people and teach other people how to do the exact same thing. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sharifa. I am so excited to be here. Oh my God, what a great show already. Dave is hilarious. Amaya, I have a lot of questions for you already. So yeah, a little bit about myself. I am a business lawyer, and I have I work full time as a lawyer. And then one day I saw that I wanted to create an online business to kind of gain that freedom and to be able to work from anywhere. And so I thought that it was either opening up a traditional law firm or like, you know, like a brick and mortar type of law firm of my own and quitting my job, or to kind of take that, my skills and my expertise into the online world. And because right now and the way things are, I mean, I started a couple of years ago, but at the time the online world was a lot more exciting because I knew that working one-on-one with clients had limitations. I could only help so many people at a time, but the online world opens you up to like thousands of people that you can help at a time, you know, especially with your own products and services. So that's how one day I came across a YouTube video of two six-figure bloggers. And I was like, oh, blogging is a way to make money? Okay, you know? And then the very next day, I started my blog. So it was totally by chance. And I never looked back. And it was just very exciting and interesting for me because I was a teacher before I became a lawyer. So teaching was just something very natural for me. And I was in a way writing these blog posts, teaching people about the legal aspects of their business, because bringing my legal expertise. So before I knew it, you know, I saw like what my target audience was struggling with, like entrepreneurs in general, whether you're a blogger, whether you're a coach, whether you're a freelancer, it doesn't matter what kind of entrepreneur, or even a coach, doesn't matter what kind of entrepreneur you are, you're all going to need some legal protection, right? If you have a business. So I saw the struggles and I identified the pain points, and then I decided to create affordable legal templates of my own that I could like help people with, because, you know, and plus it's like a quick, easy, swift solution. Instead of hiring a lawyer and spending thousands of dollars, now you can get the same level of protection through these legal documents and contracts that I personally created. So you know you're getting, you know you're getting lawyer level protection, but you're not paying that hefty price tag, you know? So that's how I started. And since then, you know, I've had the honor of helping over 10,000 people. And I personally know that how hard it is to build a business. I come from my dad being an entrepreneur, but more than that, I know that how hard it is to keep it legal. Because like Sharifa, you were saying, sometimes we're building a business, but we forget the financial aspect of it. But what I've seen is people forget the legal aspect of it too. We're so busy as entrepreneurs with a million things to do. And my dad is a prime example of that, where I saw him getting sued for $90,000. And we lost our entire business, family business, in a heartbeat. So I don't want any other entrepreneur to ever go through that pain that we went through as a family. So that's why it's my mission to, that's why I started the online business, so that I could help other entrepreneurs make, you know, avoid making those legal mistakes.
That's interesting. But I also feel, you know, that, and I believe that nothing is by chance. I feel like with you being a lawyer, that may have been something for, you know, as career-wise, but then I just look at you, you know, and like you have the colors and purples and pink, and it's like you may have needed a creative outlet, to, you know, within your work, where the blogging was able to help with that.
Yeah, you're so right. I love that you're so intuitive. So you're absolutely right. I've always been creative, and within the law, even I've been kind of unorthodox. Like my final paper in law school, bless you, Dave.
Thank you.
Final paper in law school.
I'm allergic to lawyers, so can you tell? It's like just sorry.
Not this one.
So okay, I'm better now.
Good. So even in law school, Sharifa, like when most lawyers were like, I mean, soon to become lawyers, were writing these long ass papers and this and that, I was creating videos. So I was already kind of thinking outside of the box. And like you said, I needed that creative outlet. So it worked out perfectly with the online business.
So often, people ask, what do I blog about? I think that's always the most difficult question, because almost everybody knows you can go get you a WordPress, go get you different, you know, these different sites. And it takes 5 minutes to literally set up a site that will allow you to blog. But most people don't do it because they feel like, what do I say? Or how do I continue to say something over a span of time? It's like, for me, I get you know, that feeling. I'm like, well, let me write. And then I may not feel like writing or have that passion about what I have to say for 6 months. So I would never be able to do a blog. How do you overcome that?
So no, that's a great question. So first of all, the blog is not about you. The blog is about your target audience. That's the key mistake people make. And that's why their blogs fail, especially if you're trying to monetize from your blog. If it's a hobby blog, by all means, write about your feelings, write about your journals, write about your day-to-day. Doesn't matter. But if you actually want to monetize your blog and make money blogging, like which is what I do, then you got to make it all about your readers. You can't make it about yourself, your feelings. You want to find out, first of all, like, who is your target audience? What is your niche, right? And then you write topics that your readers actually want to learn from, you know, like that's going to help them. It's not about you. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But what for me, you know, I would, whether it's my feelings or about, I go through spurts of interest on just about everything. That's why people are amazed, like, you're doing this show every day, because I'm excited. And then all of a sudden it's like, I don't have anything that I want to write about. So I don't know. I'm going to come back to you, Amira. I'm going to go back to Dave. Dave, you have your question ready?
What did I do?
You said you had a list of questions, so I went over, I brought Amira into the conversation.
Oh, my! I'm doing my co-host deck. Okay. Yes. I'm co-host. Back to you, Dave. Well, thank you so much. That's awesome. Oh, my gosh. Sorry. You said they have fun, so we're having fun. No, I was curious. I mean, so we were talking before about you must get inundated with lawyer questions.
Yes.
Like, what's the most common question? I mean, I think so. I'm a LLC owner. I own my own company.
Right.
And you know what? I full disclosure, lawyer, attorney, legal was not like really high on my list of things that I was like, you know, to protect myself from. So what's your normal, what's a big question that you get a lot, you know, from as a common, you know, question?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Dave. And you're not alone, because that's the number one thing I see across the board. As I talked about, the legal side is always neglected or forgotten conveniently. So the first question, the most common question I always get is, how do I start a business legally? Or how do I make, especially if you have an online presence, because which is what my market is right now with my online business. Not that I don't help brick and mortar businesses, I do too, but predominantly it's online entrepreneurs. So the first question is, how do I start my business legally? What documents do I need? You know, what website legal policies I need? Because every website is going to need mandatory 3 legal documents. Privacy policy, for example, is legally required. Doesn't matter what kind of entrepreneur you are, you're going to need a privacy policy. It's legally required. People need to know what personal information you're collecting from your website. How are you going to use it? And then you have a disclaimer, then you have a terms and conditions, especially if you're offering products and services, you're going to want your terms and conditions to be accepted by your customers, your clients, to avoid disputes. So there's so many different kinds of legal contracts and documents. And then also what kind of entity I should form, you know, LLC, or should I stay as a sole proprietor only, and where I don't have to file the paperwork, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's like the most common question, just the starting part of it.
Gotcha.
What documents and what contracts.
And it seems like I struggle with all those. I struggle to pay attention to what you said because it's so over my head. I'm like, I don't worry about that stuff, right? So I'm assuming you come alongside as a partner for a client and take care of that for them. I mean, I'm the type of person, I don't need to know what you just said. I just need to know it's taken care of. So is that how you kind of would come alongside an entrepreneur in this situation and then help us to be able to get legal or get to wherever we wanted to get, whatever that looks like for each individual company. Is that how that works?
Yes, absolutely. I have, as I mentioned, I was a teacher. So what I've done is I've literally taken the complicated legal aspects and like, you're not alone to, and you're not the first one to tell me that it's above your head. So I've literally taken the legal jargon and the legalese and made it so simple with my legal templates that it's like a an 8-year-old can do it. That's what actually my customers tell me, that it's that easy. So okay. I will highlight the areas, take you like 15 minutes, put in your information, and boom, you're done. So you don't have to read the legalese. You don't have to understand. You don't even have to watch a video. I designed my products and my templates and in such a way where it's fast, cost-effective, and just won't take you like hours and hours, and it won't be a legal overwhelm to deal with.
Sure.
So yes, that's exactly what I do.
So it must, and one more question, and then I'll turn it back over to my co-host. You mentioned something there, which is unique, and I spend a lot of time with this in my side, but it's building trust, because I think about what you just said, and I'm really giving you the keys to the car,
right?
I'm allowing you into my business. I'm trusting that you have my best interest in mind. And so I'm assuming the blogging and your online presence really kind of builds that trust. Is that one of the reasons that you do that?
Yeah, because trust can't be bought, right? Trust is something that you have, it takes time, right? No one's going to right away just trust you. Yes, it's the entire business, right? The email marketing, the sequences, giving people multiple opportunities to visit a blog post, writing different blog posts, educating people, putting yourself out there in video, whether it's a webinar. I haven't done webinars, but I've done other video trainings, lessons, free trainings, things like that. That's all part of the whole grand scheme of building trust and teaching people, because once, it's warming them up to you, right? Because you're dealing with cold people. Before the show, I didn't know you, but now that we're talking after 20, 30 minutes, you probably trust me a little bit, right? More than what you trusted me like 30 minutes ago. Right. So it's the same thing. It's like building that relationship over time. And I have had customers that literally just read a blog post from another third-party website, like a guest post that I wrote. They don't know me. They've never seen me on camera. They have never interacted with me. But they just loved the writing because they're like, oh, this made sense to me. I get her. I get what she's trying to tell me about the legal side of my business. And they bought my stuff.
Sure.
So I didn't have to sell them. I didn't have to talk to them. I didn't have to do anything. So there's so many different ways to build trust as, a new business, different aspects. And then of course, utilize social media, right? Because everybody, that's where a lot of your customers or your clients are.
Awesome.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for those questions. Thank you for co-hosting. Let's go back over to Amaya.
You,
you're welcome. Amaya, you still with us?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Thank you for being so patient. So how are we going to do the channeling today? I'm going to let you co-host. I don't want to work today. It's Friday.
You don't want to work today, huh?
So I'm giving up the seat.
I want to say one thing. I was listening, when you're talking about Amira and you're talking about the blogging, and you mentioned about having a hard time blogging. For me as a writer, there's different feelings when I write. Sometimes I'll get that first sentence,
right?
Have to put it down, and then something comes from it,
right?
Many times I'll start thinking I'm going to do a blog over here, and all of a sudden something else develops.
Yeah,
I do that blog, and many times I feel like I don't have anything. It's like pulling teeth, but I sit down anyway. And I do it, and something 7 out of 10 times comes out of it.
Right.
So I would encourage people to sit and just do it. Just people think that when you write, it just kind of dumps out of you. It's like you're singing to the heavens, and the angels are singing as you're writing. And
I wish.
There's music playing in the background,
right.
And that's not really sometimes how writing works.
Exactly.
There's times I've talked to someone on the phone or on Zoom, and they said, "You're looking really uncomfortable." I said, "Yeah, I need to go write."
Right.
Sometimes I'm sitting in front of the computer going, "Oh my God, I feel like I'm pulling my hair out here."
Yeah. Absolutely. So Amaya, I just had a question. I love what you do. So you were talking about, like, you know, and this is off the business topic, but just wondering, like, how do you get that sense? Like you were saying about seeing the spiritual guides and all of that. Like, how do you, like, what, how do you receive the messages? I'm just trying to understand. Like,
A good question. It's a very good question. I don't know if I can answer it, but I'll try.
Okay.
You know, it's such a natural part of me.
Right.
And I just want to say this as a business owner, because I've been in both worlds, and I'm actually very good at business, but I've gotten to a place in my world where I just need someone to take it over, because I want to just go do what I do well.
Yeah.
And not think of that end of things, but not, and make sure I keep an eye on it so people don't run away with my monies. I mean, that has happened before. Happened to Marianne Williamson, where... Right. Like she said on one of the things I watched, she said, you know, it was easier to forgive him once I sued him and got my money back. So, you know, that whole process of, and she owned it. She said, what woman, a multimillionaire, lets somebody else handle their money and not look at it? You know, she had to learn by that, really.
Yeah.
The business end of things. So mine has been, I have done marketing, but mine has always been word of mouth. It's just been the way it is. So to answer your question, and how this, can you restate the question for me? Now I went off on another tangent ahead.
My question was that how do you receive the messages? Mm-hmm.
You know, it comes in a multitude of forms.
Okay.
It really does. It used to come because I had it so repressed for so long through pain.
Okay.
It would come like I walk by somebody and could feel them. It comes now and it still comes those ways when there's two aspects of this. If someone asks me for healing or reading, then there's a different way that it's coming to me, because I've kind of flipped the switch to be in that place.
Right.
And that will come to me. Literally, I will see something. I'll see a person at a certain age as I'm working, or I'll hear a sentence. I feel things in my body. I've literally worked with people and started just physically feeling what they're trying to process. So I'm really considered clairsensis.
Right.
That means I do all the senses. I can hear, I will hear spirit will talk to me.
Okay.
They will say something immediately when I see someone.
Mm-hmm. You know? Is spirit talking to you now?
Yeah, that's what we want
patience,
to know.
Patience. I have to wait till they give me the hand up over here. You know, yesterday I had stopped by one of the places I've been working at on Sundays to pick up a check, and one of the readers were there, and she asked me a question, and she mentioned a man's name, and it was like something in me went like that. She was actually asking for someone else, but she mentioned this other man's name, and I said, I have to go back to this because I think blah, 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 whatever. I'm not going to break that privilege of what I said to her. But I heard it and I felt it at the same time.
Right. Mm.
So by nature, I am a channel, but I'm also a medicine person. I walk in both worlds almost continuously. This is just my life. So that question about how I do this, it's like I can look at someone and information starts happening. Sometimes I have to wait on it. So. You've asked me, you know, what does spirit have to say? And spirit's saying to me, Dave has a question. He needs to ask that question to me. And I'm not being facetious.
What about Sharifa? What about me?
Yeah, wait. People are always like that. I love it when I tell people what I do, because I don't hide it. I say I'm a healer and a channel. And always, I could be on the phone with customer service. And they'll be talking, so what do you do? And I'll say, and there's this dead silence. And it's like, what do you see from me?
Right.
I mean, it always happens. Like, I always wait for it. I'm waiting for it. It's like, it's always a silence. And then it's like, so, and they try to phrase it in different ways. So what do you see for me? Or do you get anything?
Right.
I mean, I get that. I'm trying not to laugh because I'm waiting for that to happen every time now.
Yes, Dave. So what's your question?
I really don't have a question, but I do have an interesting comment, because when I think about what you're talking about in this situation and I try and translate it into business, there's a lot of people that ask, you know, they kind of look at their business Like they look at their life and they see it the way that they see it. And they really value somebody's expert advice from the outside, you know, looking whether it's a life thing, whether it's a business thing, whether it's a relationship thing, but they really value, you know, there's certain people that totally don't value others. And then there's those, the more self-aware you are, the more you tend to really value other people's, you know, at feedback. And so to me, I think that that's really kind of a cool thing to come alongside somebody and be honored to get asked that question. What do you see?
Yes.
Whether it's from a business perspective, a personal perspective, like Amaya, either way, you know, somebody's really putting a lot of trust again in that situation. Yeah. And, you know, I think that it's really like from my perspective as a business coach, I'm honored when somebody says, what do you see? You know, just off the cuff. I mean, I could meet somebody for the first time, spend 15 minutes with them, and they're like, so what do you think? And it's like, you know, you have some real insight based on what they shared, and they in a million years can't see it for whatever reason. But you're able to see that, whether it's a gift or a talent or something that you acquired over the years, whatever that is. So I just kind of saw this connection, correlation.
Sure. What she was saying. And it's also what was stated before. I think that Amira stated it, or did you state it, Shafra? Did you? Someone stated that people separate their personal and their professional lives. And the truth is that where I come in is really more on the personal side, yet it tends to free people up for the rest of it. Mm-hmm. It really, it gives that the wind beneath the wings type of experience. Yes, that's the point
that I was making, is that it's all one life.
It's not all just one about life.
The business aspect of it. So
Spirit told me that years ago, you know, when my personal life and my professional life were equal, that's when I would really fly. And you know, when it happened is when the quarantine started, that this is my time. It's my, not my time per se, but my time to serve in a different way. So to ask me, and you know, I laugh because I'm always waiting for it. I don't laugh at the people. It's just like, I know it's coming that people are going to say that. They can't help themselves. They're interested, and it is a compliment because they're interested in, you know, am I okay? I mean, really, that's what they're asking me, or what about this? And where I work on a level, it's not so much about the job or the car, I'm working on the life,
right?
That's where spirit or my own vision tends to go to is, how is your life? How are you living? How are your relationships? You know, we have to be in right relationship to have anything really stay productive and balance. Yes. And how can we go with the change? I was listening to Dave talk about the business aspect. We're in a quantum leap here. How do we run business now without being able to be in the physical presence of others?
Right.
Yeah.
I never wanted to do Zoom. I've been told for years, get an internet business presence. And I'm old school. I'm like, no, I like to be in front of people.
Sure.
Talking to a millennial, and she said, you're traveling 3,000 miles to see us? I'm like, right, I could do it over Zoom, right? She said, yes. So, and then we had this pandemic happen, and guess what Amaya had to do? Yep. Amaya had to go with the times and literally rebuild my business in a different way. Now, Spirit, I believe we're always guided. If I bring the spiritual end into business,
mm-hmm.
I get up every morning and I say, what will you have me do today?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I have to sit down chop wood and carry water. You know, I have to do the things that are necessary, because if I don't network and I don't make connections, then I'll be talking to the wind here. So
I like all the little expressions.
Literally talk to the air, the walls. So, you know, it is important, I believe, in business also to network.
Mm-hmm.
Network.
Yes.
Absolute. And to gather those connections, you know, find like communities to be part of.
Yeah.
So I have a question, because you, and for everybody, because I value everybody's feedback on this, you know, you talked about something guides your business. So mm-hmm. my training and my book talks about how the customer really is the one that should guide our company. So, you know, when you think about that, the selfish entrepreneurs, you know, they're at the top and everybody's at the bottom, you know, and we've kind of inverted that where the you know, I as the leader am supporting, I'm at the bottom, so to speak, and the customer's at the top, you know, that servant leadership mentality. So I'm just curious for you guys to, you know, when you think about your customer, you know, if we were having a show with them and we would ask them, hey, tell me about that company, your company, you know, what do you think some of the things that they would say, you know, what type of feedback would we get from the people that we have, you know, connected with over the years?
Yes, Amira, I'll let you answer that.
Sure. For me, the number one thing that I hear from my customers all the time, and I have social proof for it on my Facebook page, is thank you. These templates are a lifesaver. Your customer service is exceptional. I made it a rule to myself when I started the business that it's going to be like Dave, what you said, it's going to be all about the customers, and that I want to treat them the way I want to be treated. And again, coming from a dad being an entrepreneur, so that was kind of already built in from a young age. But, and because we had to start all over again after that lawsuit, so it was really embedded deep in me that customers are the pillar of your business. So yes, I really make sure that the customer service is outstanding and that experience is memorable.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. And I get the same thing, that I get, thank you, that has helped me tremendously. I even hear 2-3 years later, someone will call me and say, you know, I'm still listening to that recording. I'm still listening to that MP3, that right. tape, you know, when I did tapes, you know. I came back because the tape broke. I listened to it so much. I needed.
I'm from A-Track days, so that's fine.
Yeah, not the A-Track, a little bit further along, but yeah, the tapes. That's how long I've been doing this work, morphing to now to Love Zoom, because I can just push a button, have it recorded here, and then send it off. It's really not hard to do at all.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. So I keep pinging Spirit to see if there's any messages. You know, I'm saying, okay, we've got a basic question here, actually by all three, even though you're the one that voiced it immediately when I came on, which is, you know, we're open, you want to say anything, here we are. And, but I can feel all three, including myself, I like when they come through too, is there anything to say? And there's been great silence as we've been talking here, but I'm encouraging them to step forward. So, you know, it was a kid, but it wasn't a kid, Dave, about really they want to pay attention to you for a few moments here, really. And look, Amira goes, yeah, that's right.
Better him than me.
No, she really wants the connection.
She wants something, yeah. Well, no. I have another question while you're in connection.
No, we're going to do this now.
Okay, sorry.
Because we're ready for it, because it's not just preparing itself. And Mira, I have to tell you that not to freak you out, because I'm so used to seeing Spirit, that right. there's definitely a woman standing behind you.
Oh my God.
Spirit.
But I hope it's a good one.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Your ethnic background may ask me that, but it's a good. It's a good soul.
It's one of those good guides, right?
Well, it's an ancestor.
Oh, okay.
And who's now your guide, and she's really, she helped you make three major transitions over the last couple of years.
Okay.
She really helped you make some decisions, but I'll talk to you about that in a moment.
Okay, yeah.
And Shakar's little girl's going, me! Up there, God bless her, she's so professional up there. So, it's amazing to me how when I look at you, they're like, him, we want to talk to him. So I'm going to ask them to keep this within privilege, which they know how to do, so we don't get too personal on air.
Right.
Here. So for the one that has had an American Revolutionary past life, known as Dave in this lifetime, the one that comes from not just the ocean, but from genetically, the background of wilderness, for the one who has left everything that he knew to step into a place of freedom here. we hand you, Dave, then a glass of clean water, metaphorically. We hand you this glass of clean water so that forgiveness, and forgiveness is not a weekend workshop, and it is not an easy task, but it's something that you provoked to do several years ago, and for the last 13 years, was to let go, to resolve, to look towards what the lesson really has been. This glass of water that we give you, as you drink of it metaphorically, like the Holy Grail, is to cool the heart area so that the balance for you, our blessed friend, will be, as you're finishing up this strengthening of your own value and your own voice in this world, dear healer, is to then not so much bring to you, but have the strength on the other end of relationship. We're not saying you should or should not be in a relationship. We're just making a balance here for you. Because your task has been heavy for years back there. And now we lighten the load so that you can have both the laughter. And thank you for making connections. And we honor and respect and encourage you, not just with the second book, but also to begin a process so that you will be out in front of people to help them, not just with their business, but with them really getting that their lives are wonderful. All of it. You're going to be coming full circle, dear Dave. Full circle. So that glass of water is to help finish off the burn on some mistakes you've made in relationship so that there can be a freedom across the board. We hope we didn't get too personal on that, but it was difficult not to at least go that far.
Sure. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And you should feel better than when you come off the air today, because we've lifted a shred out of the heart that you've been asking for relief on.
Thank you.
You had a question, Dave.
Yeah.
He's like, after that, I don't know what I was going to say.
I don't know.
So I know we only have so much time. So let me see what we have here. Amira. Please understand, I'm gonna cry. That's how much love they have for you. The basis and depth of this woman's spirituality is now going to begin to flourish and flower. She has stood in a place in her own being of youngness, of like seeing herself only 15 years old inside. And so it has been a process then, given the nature of her family and the ethnic background and the goodness of lifting her up to be free and independent, but at the same time, those old paradigms of acceptability as a female and what she should and should not be doing, that not so much discordance but conflict has caused then a hesitation. So lean into all that you do in your development as not just an entrepreneur, but as a healer, because it's going to move and shift and change as you have been shown over the last month or so. Let that occur, because out of this will be the morphing and the developing and the maturing as you as a woman, the allowing then of the creative end as an artist and a healer and a musician, a singer for the people, the getting back to the ancient ways of not just the indigenous culture, but the Persian, Iraq culture, so that you can bring forward the chanting, the toning, and the presence of faith towards God. In that also then, is we welcome you to go ahead and believe that you can have marriage.
Why is everybody talking about love? Like, that's what's coming through. Dave's heart is going to be healed. Amara is going to be married.
No, we didn't say we're going to. We're saying to really get that question off the table, deal with the emotions behind that and the self-judgment, and then be at restfulness with it. So you're not afraid of it. Not afraid of it. Because that goes back to the self-judgment of your own physicality and your own ability in this world. Your father has been a great man, but some of that dominance has set you back a bit. So you just need to step forward now into another place.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
All right.
Thank you.
Dear friend, and we have spoken to you before, blessed one. You who have been in Egypt, you who understand pestilence and performance, you are favorite one of many. Take rest for a bit. Your body needs rest, dear one. Your body needs a process of recoup, because you will be called upon to speak about consideration, kindness, fairness, and unification, unity. There is no accident that you were born dark-skinned during a time where all cultures will have to come to the circle in peace. That for you, the task now is the washing through the body, clear the throat area, drink plenty of water, eat well, and rest. Your task will be the service of the people, the restfulness, the cleansing of the body, and then the opening to commitment of a partnership that will serve you, that will lift you, that will take you without taking from you in an unreasonable manner. You are worthy of this. You can have it. But our dear friend, we're to tell you that first you must help the people around the corner.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all for being a guest. I appreciate everything that came through and everyone. What I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests a brief moment to speak directly to the audience, to everyone watching live, as well as everyone who's watching the show in the archives, and simply let them know what you would like for them to take away from your appearance. And we're going to start with you, Amira.
Thank you, Sharifa. I just want to first honestly say thank you to all of you. It has been such an amazing conversation and this talk show. So thank you, Sharifa, for the opportunity once again. And to anyone watching, I would just say that if you are a business owner, make sure to not neglect the legal side of your business, because I've personally experienced that what happens when you do. And so just make sure that you are really considering legal to be the foundation of your business. And if you need any help with how to monetize your blog, I was able to take my blog from zero to multiple six figures in a short amount of time while working full-time as a lawyer. So I would be happy to help you with that if you need. My website is aselfguru.com. And if you need any help with making sure that your online business is protected so you can sleep like a baby, make sure to check out my legal templates, which are very affordable than hiring a lawyer. And or you could hire someone like me and pay me three times more. I don't mind. So totally up to you. The power is in your hands. So check out those services. Check out the Work With Me page, the Legal Store page for the different products and the different services that I offer. And I would love to work with you. It's one of my favorite things to do, work with entrepreneurs, help you, because I'm one myself. So I can understand what everybody goes through.
Thank you, Amira. Dave.
Yes, thank you so much for letting me hang out with you ladies today. Three words from me is be self-aware.
I like it. Those three words. I thought it was going to be something from the book, or go get the book, or nothing.
No growing on purpose. Write more books, so maybe there's one on self-awareness. So I'll start that right there. Just be self-aware. So,
well, just let us know. We want to hear more about you and your books. Amaya, a couple of words for us.
Yes. What I would leave everyone with is this. We are in the greatest times on this planet. So shine through business, through relationships, and in life. Let's turn towards that light and let's go ahead and make this the new world, really. You can contact me at amayacenter.com. And I know there's no accidents. I know I was supposed to be online with the other three of you today. It's so obvious to me. I personally will be contacting these other two people here. I work in business. I don't do that end of business, but my world is about your business. So do come and check me out, amayacenter.com.
I have to check you out. I want to thank you all for being a guest on this morning's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live. That's a new one. We never had someone channel on the show, and definitely not channel all of us. So this was definitely an interesting experience that you know you want to go ahead and share. Please visit our guest websites. The information is in the post. Contact them on social media, follow them, send them a message. And when you contact them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you're interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.
Bye.